County Fair Board. And Roger is...
This is the first ordinance that we've done in the new system, and I've drawn it up according to the best understanding I have of the requirements of the statutes of the Department for Local Government. This is ordinance number 150.1, an ordinance establishing Marshall County Fair Board. Whereas Marshall County has for many years had an outstanding Marshall County A&I Fair, primarily through the offices of the City of Benton Parks Board and Marshall County JCs. Whereas Marshall County Fiscal Court wishes to commend these bodies for the past successes that they have had, to assist them in future Marshall County A&I Fairs, and to secure all statutory benefits and other funding which may inure as a result of their being a Marshall County Fair Board. Now therefore, be it ordained of the Fiscal Court of Marshall County, Commonwealth of Kentucky, that, Section 1, there is hereby established a Marshall County Fair Board under KRS 247-220 and all other applicable statutes. 2, Marshall County Fair Board shall have all powers and rights established by statute or case law, and the Marshall County Fiscal Court does hereby grant to said Marshall County Fair Board the full extent of powers and rights that it may so under the law grant, to allow the board to act as its agent in all matters pertaining to its responsibility. The board shall be responsible for obtaining funding for the annual fair, for working and coordinating efforts with all other interested and involved agencies, to assist in all ways of holding the fair, and to be further involved in any and all like and related activities in Marshall County, whether the annual fair or otherwise. The board is directed to comply with all provisions of the law and take all of the necessary actions to further the fair and related activities in the county. The board shall consist of 5 members whose terms of office shall be for 2 years and until a replacement member is named unless removed. The 5 members shall be named to the board by the Marshall County Judge Executive, subject to the approval of the Marshall County Fiscal Court. Any member may be removed at any time by the Marshall County Judge Executive, subject to the approval of the Fiscal Court. Subject to the approval of the Fiscal Court, the judge shall name one of the 5 members as chairman of the board. Time of the appointing of the official board of directors, 2 of the members shall serve for an initial term of 1 year each, 2 of the members shall serve for an initial term of 2 years each, the last member shall serve an initial term of 3 years. After the expiration of said terms, then the regular 2-year terms will commence. That staggers it. It gives 2 years to rotate people off the board. None of the members of the board shall be entitled to receive a salary for the performance of their duties, but upon proper certification to the board, the fiscal court may reimburse the members of the board for their reasonable expenses incurred in the performance of their duties. This ordinance shall become effective upon its date of publication after final passage. And we have the first reading set for today, which is what we've done. And we have to have it published before we can even vote on it. Read it to you, let you know that this was an ordinance that we've talked about that drawing. If that meets with everybody's feelings.
You haven't published the entire ordinance or just a synopsis of it?
We just have to publish a summary of it.
When, this is kind of getting off the subject a little bit, but when do you think you're going to have an answer to this?
Okay, and I haven't filed that yet. I want to bring that up today and let the court read it and see if that was acceptable to you, and then we were going to file it today.
We'll go ahead and take that up while you're
The other item that we were discussing is the complaint for a declaratory judgment. I think I've distributed copies to the judge and all the members of the fiscal court. It's an action brought in the name of the Commonwealth of Kentucky on the relationship of the Marshall Fiscal Court, being Mike Miller, Judge Executive, Harvey Devine, Gordon Hargrove, and Wayne Lovett, Marshall County Court Clerk, James R. English, versus the Marshall Publishing Company, a Kentucky corporation doing business as the Marshall County Messenger, Kentucky Waterland Press, a Kentucky corporation doing business as the Tribune Courier. The complaint sets out that the plaintiffs, the fiscal court, and the clerk are the persons responsible for publishing various legal notices as required by law. In order for these notices to be valid, they have to meet the requirements of the statute, specifically the provision that whenever an advertisement or a publication area is required by law to be published in a newspaper, publication must be made in a newspaper that meets the requirements under that section. And both newspapers qualify under that section according to the information that I have, with a single exception. We can only publish in the one newspaper that has the, quote, largest bona fide circulation in the publication area. Of course, there's only one newspaper that can be the largest. It is presently impossible for us to determine which has the largest. For this reason, we request Judge Lassiter and the Circuit Court to require the defendants, the two newspapers, to come before the court and present sufficient proof so that the court may determine which is the appropriate newspaper. Then I have directions for serving you. Attabel Willie and Wade Bourne, their copies of the complaint. I've called both of them, told them that we're filing this, and advised them to get their attorneys ready to present the proof to Judge Lassiter. He'll enter a judgment. I have sent a copy of this complaint to Judge Lassiter already for his review to let him know that the action was being filed. In that letter to him, I included a notation that we would appreciate his moving this forward on his docket for the earliest possible decision because of the necessity to publish the tax notices. But I wanted to present the document to you, and we'll have it filed today.
Gentlemen, does that meet with your approval?
Yep.
Do you need court action on that, Roger?
I think I was authorized previously to do that. Yeah. I just wanted to read the court what we're going to do.
All right. Any other old business needs to come before the court this morning? New business. We got some information on our CETA program. Roberts, you want to briefly go over that with the court?
In the mail yesterday, we received our allocations for the next, for this year, which is fiscal year 78, beginning October 1, 78, continuing through September 30, 79 on that CETA program. We got the total amount of money that we are going to have on each program. We're in the process now of trying to evaluate how we can best utilize that to reduce the layoffs. We hope so that we don't have to lay anybody off because of a shortage of funds. We did get cut back on both programs considerably more on Title VI than on Title II, but Title II, we got more money than we did on Title VI, so we're going to have to transfer some people from Title VI to Title II. Some are eligible too, some are not. That's what we're in the process of trying to determine who is eligible. Within this week, our area representative from Frankfort is supposed to be here, and we're going to, you know, go over the contract. He and the judge and I go over it position by position and determine which, how we best use our money to put this this person on one title or the other. Sorry, I left the figures in my office as far as the total amount that we got, but it's an amount to total Title II and Title VI together is about 90% of the money we got this last year. Now, since we were advised of these possibilities coming up as early as like September, so what we've done since September is just about every time we've had a position come open from someone leaving our employment or being picked up by county employment or something, we've just not refilled that position. At present time, we have six openings that are not been filled, and this is just to here's a position that's gone for a quarter that's not been filled, money hasn't been spent. This just helps to reduce the effect of a cutback if we are operating at over what our budget for the whole year is, which we're doing right now. So we're in the process of figuring it out exactly how far each position can go. There are some very definite restraints that are going to be in effect on CETA. Probably the one that will be most noticeable to us is beginning October 1 of this year, a person can only work on CETA 18 months out of a five-year period. And so they're going to, anybody that's worked on CETA prior to October 1 that's worked over 6 months, they're going to give them 6 months credit. And then from October 1, they'll have 12 months left to work, which means come September 30th this year, anybody who was hired before April 1 of this year has to be laid off. there'll be no provision to transfer them to any other funding source of CETA. They'll either have to be hired by the agency they're working at, or in that time will help to find unsubsidized employment. A second constraint is on the Title II program, we'll be no longer able to subsidize a position. For instance, say we fund a policeman in the city of Benton, and we fund all of our policemen at one level that we've determined to be just. And the city of Benton says, well, our policeman makes X dollars more, and we'll make the difference up in pay. This has been an acceptable procedure. We've done it within the county. This will be no longer eligible on Title II. And on Title VI, all subsidies must be cut back to 10% of the maximum $10,000 CETA wage, which means $1,000. So we're going to have to adjust some subsidies or pay raises, because we have some people that are being subsidized by the agency they work at more than the $1,000 limit now.
Bob, let me ask you something. In the event that a person is receiving more than the $1,000 allowable limit on subsidy, in particular the Sheriff's Department, the City Police, Calvert, the City Police of Benton, would they, the unit of government, be allowed to, rather than a subsidy, pay them mileage, expense money, or whatever, what they call it, gas mileage or expense money, and be able to avoid the $1,000 limit? Or is this something we'll have to take up with Steve?
That's something we probably need to take up for sure. Any time that you pay reimbursement expense that is not a salary or a pay, it's not reported like on the W-2s, so it's not counted as an earned income. Probably so.
Well, for instance, the Sheriff's Department, they use their own cars, they pay their own insurance, they buy their own gasoline. The subsidy there is in the form of reimbursement for expenses incurred.
For personal use.
Right.
I think that's probably allowable procedure if the person does have a justifiable expense. That's something we'll have to determine on each position. That'll have to be a determination probably. Especially on each position, not across the board. Okay. That's kind of in a nutshell. This subsidy must be by January 26th. We must be in compliance with that. That means anyone who's on Title II at all must be subsidized now. The subsidy must be cut out. And by January 26th, anybody who's on Title VI, the subsidy must be brought in line with the 10%. Any questions?
I've got
to know more within by the end of this week as to how it's really going to, how we're going to reshift our organization to compensate for it.
Well, gentlemen, I've got comments to make and get your reaction. The real concern that I have right now is that come September of 1979, we are in trouble with our ambulance service. Now, this has been discussed at statewide meetings with Roland Dallaire of the state EMS office. Been discussed with members of the governor's cabinet. In many other counties, they have last year in the general election and also in the May primary, many of the counties put the question of a tax on the ballot before their people. Many of them were successful, some of them were not. I think it's time that we have to face reality that as of September, our ambulance service will no longer be able to operate the way it's operating now because of the loss of CETA funds. We can't wait until September to try to make a decision. We've got to make the decision
soon as to whether or not we're going to put the question on the ballot to create a taxing district to continue to operate the ambulance service. At best, we're bringing in enough money from the ambulance service now to keep our equipment updated. The financial burden is in the form of personnel. We're simply not bringing in enough money to fund it. Now, I'll open the floor for discussion.
Well, here we go back to this this payroll tax. How do you think it would be if we worked out on this payroll tax?
Payroll tax would be a general fund tax and could be used to subsidize ambulance service. Could be used to subsidize the road department. Could be used for distribution of volunteer fire department. Would be a general fund tax.
I'm just gonna give you my opinion. In my opinion, the chances would be better to pass a particular tax for ambulance use and ambulance service. That's my opinion. But it frightens me that come September. Now, of course, the federal government and all their wisdom may come up with a new scheme to bail us out, but I don't foresee it. I think the federal government's cutting everywhere they can. I think we're going to see a reduction in grant programs. I think we're going to see a reduction in public service employment. I think it's going to affect all counties, not just us. There's only three counties in the purchase that will not be affected as far as ambulance services are concerned. That's McCracken, Callaway, and Graves. Graves County runs their ambulance service in a joint operation with the city. It's handled through the city fire department. Murray and Callaway County, Paducah, McCracken use a private vendor, Angels of Mercy, and they subsidize them. Even if we brought in a private vendor and had to subsidize them, we'd have to have some mechanism in order to pay them $50,000 to $75,000 a year, because that's what they'd be asking.
Plus the fact that the rates of the private vendor are
much higher.
Much higher.
How much,
Rob?
Anytime you go out of county and reach in and pull somebody else to run the show, it's going to cost you double.
Here. Now,
what is the possibility of turning this thing back over to our undertakers here like we did before with a man?
They didn't want it to start.
I understand that. With a man, with the county branch.
You gonna run a man 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Won't work, Wayne.
Well,
we can't do it.
I wanted to bring that out.
Yeah, we can't do it.
It's law.
Wanted to bring it out. That's been brought up to me. I just wanted to get public to know.
Well, number one, the funeral directors came to us. We didn't want to go into the ambulance business. All the funeral directors came to the fiscal court. They told us they were going out of business as of January 1, 1975, period. They would make no more ambulance runs. And they said, "We've got the ball, what are you going to do?" That's when we created the Marshall County Ambulance Service. The funeral homes were losing money. Under the guidelines that the federal government set down, they couldn't operate, and they wouldn't. I don't know how the people of the county would react. I think the only thing we can do is give them an opportunity. But I think one thing that, we must bear in mind, we cannot, under our present tax structure, pick it up in its entirety. We cannot. Now, we've ran it 4 years now, using CETA, anti-recession, revenue sharing, and whatever we could pick up here and there. Fulton got in trouble before that, and they went out and sold subscriptions. But their real test is going to come, according to Jim Martin, the city planner, will be next year when they try to renew those subscriptions.
What do you mean subscriptions?
They went out and sold subscriptions to the ambulance service.
How much money does it take for a year to operate the ambulance service under this present operation?
If you take into consideration manpower, equipment, I would say an estimate of between $115,000 and $120,000 a year. Your rents, your equipment, your manpower.
Trading the trucks and updating the trucks.
And here again, we've been fortunate, and we're going to continue, you know, to try to get grants to help us on each time we trade equipment.
I think manpower is going to be about $150,000.
No, it doesn't.
Well, minimum wage would be $2.99 an hour.
Well, now that's something
you're talking,
else.
You're talking about around $10,000 per person, the time you pay their salary and the fringe benefits. Right now, we have about 15 people down there. $150,000 personnel, and there's a cost to run the service, the rent, the supplies, the trade-in on trucks. The grant match on the truck is going, the ambulances are going down each year.
Minimum wage is going up this year, and it'll go up again next year.
So
I forgot about that, so that would make it a little more.
You're talking about almost $150,000 for an ambulance. Junior could probably tell if I spent more than I did.
Well, we can get it down close.
Well, he can tell you $6 for dollar, exactly. They just went through an audit, he can tell us that.
Well, I agree. I don't think we can sit around here, like you said, the last minute and try to do something. We're going to have to look around and see what we have to do and do it.
I think the decision needs to be made sometime in January if we are going to put the question on the ballot. Because I think the people of the county need to be educated as to what we're facing, and given the total picture. I'm not talking about scare tactics. I'm talking about giving facts to the people.
I agree with what you're saying. We're going to have to do something. But I tell you, one of the things we have to consider in this too, these ambulances have to travel over the county roads. This summer we have overspent our budget. We have not even begun to cover the roads that we have, not the county roads, I'm talking about the county roads. Put tar and gravel on them this summer. We have gained some, but we're not no way back in shape that we used to be. In other words, we have gravel roads that are in bad shape. It needs to be tar and gravel. We have chip and seal roads and it's a rough you can't drive on. I promise you, Oak Valley Church Road, or Dyke Road, the man was having a heart attack, and the ambulance had to go out there. He couldn't drive at only the rate of speed of probably 40, 45 miles an hour, and take you over today. So we in trouble in this route, too. Our buses travel on these roads, mail carriers. If we're gonna have an ambulance service, and we're going to have all these other organizations with school buses traveling these roads, we're going to have an ambulance and county road car. In place, but now we have. We're going to have a plan, we're going to have more money, we're going to have something where we can put down as permanent that we're never going to have to continue to spend on. So I think we need to consider that also if we're going to. I think he's absolutely right. I think what we're going to have to try to do is, just like you said, it's not just wait the last minute using scare tactics, just explain to the people, I mean, that the situation we're in is more than one if you sound it, and the roads like he's talking about now. The seal roads are just getting worse every year. The catchment, like you said, it's getting worse for us. What we're going to have to do somewhere or other is just get something, some kind of tactic or something. Well, we can get a little money to operate on and go ahead instead of just holding our own or going back in some cases. So what I'd like to suggest is for the first week in January, everybody think about this thing and maybe try to come up with some kind of solution or at least some ideas, maybe get it all put together and go from that.
Well, I think a lot of thought needs to go into it. Well, we're talking about the protection of the people. We know about some of the opposition to a payroll tax. I don't know what kind of opposition we would get to an ambulance tax. I would have to. Well, we just need to think about it. I hate if we get the two intermingled here, we might, you know, you might cut your nose off to spite your face and be without both.
That's right, too, but you're going to turn around out here and send a, what's William Adams' cost? $16,000, $18,000. $18,000 ambulance, the man had a heart attack out on Old Lighted Church Road, and I guarantee you, you can't drive over 30 miles an hour. So, I mean, we need the ambulance. We've got to have it. Still, again, we've got to have these roads. These buses got to go over these roads. The ambulance has got to travel over there. Transportation. We're hurting in the ambulance as far as money. We're hurting in the road department as far as money. We have a library, a tax board, right? We have a duck tax board. And these different hospital tax boards. The money's coming in for us to feed it. Ambulance we don't have. Road department, it comes out of the general fund as far as the county roads. So, inflation's eat us up.
Well, let's give it some thought at our next meeting. And let's try to plan to make some decisions on which route we want to go.
What do you think, Wayne?
Get another cutback next October 1. But it, I mean, the people you lose, if they're on now, will have to be laid off.
That's
you'll be able to hire more. But the guidelines for hiring them are a lot more stringent than the people that were put on.
Well, it'll take me all winter to learn to do what I've got them boys doing and then look at the equipment you're going to tear up during the time.
Right.
Training.
New people don't
agree, but
equipment.
It's. It's nothing we have any control over, John. This is strictly federal regulations. Our congressmen and other powers that be in Washington, our senators, made this decision. We had to figure out some way to get those people from Guyana back to the United States, see, so we take the money out of CETA and fly them back from Jonestown to get them buried, see.
Spent
so.
$9 million buried.
But that's facing us, and I understand what you're saying too, John. Take new new blood in there, and it's going to take a while to get them oriented to what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do.
Well, that's true. About time to get some good people to get them trained, though.
Then you got a chance.
You don't know what you're going to get the next time, whether they're going to work.
I'm sure if you put the work all the time, so I can take you out. Sure, we're going to take somebody else, or put somebody else on it.
Your other new business? Oh, Bubby, one thing I don't know why. Went down on the new bridge there at Cypress. As you go up it, there was a dip there. Did you notice that? I don't know whether it just by settling down or what it was.
We put about 6 weeks ago, we put 50 loads of gravel if I can get ready now. I'm going blacktop it from the bridge out 62. Next summer we didn't get to approve,
Well, what about, can we get them to raise those railings on that bridge? I can understand what those people are saying there for going down that hill and looking at it. I mean,
well,
maybe it's not a dangerous thing, but if we get them raised a little bit, I think that would really.
It's no way you're going to go over off the bridge. Now, like I said, them rails are short, and the reason they put the short rails was, just like all them little bridges through there with Frosting Truck, we have rails on them, high rails. They keep tore up all the time. They put them on two or three times a year. Down there with Mr. Lindsay's different places. The reason the state, which we never do, is construction bridge, you know. They did it for us, but the rails are about this high. The reason they put them out high is it's over across these big combines, these headers, these big 24-foot wide discs. And the reason they did, they keep tearing the rails off.
Okay.
But if anybody slides, there's no way you're going to slide off that bridge. There's no way. Because if you're going across a bridge with ice on it or something, you jump that high, there's no way to slide, because the bridge is flat down the bottom, you can get down the hill, it's flat, you're not going to slide off it. But the reason they put them the way they was, they keep people kind of off, and people get combined, you know, and big dips on us.
The old vice president out here, he's supposed to, the county, the state, take care of the roads on these bridges. The old vice president, one of the rails are knocked off on the bridge. We ought to keep that, or?
That bridge
should be bridged. But now, Judge, you see, they got them six sixes. You get down to the bottom, it's going to keep sliding off. You get it with a bump or something, you're going to knock your leg off. This way, your bump's going to roll up your tires and get it. The fact is, safer this way, it would be with a higher one.
The higher you get up, the greater tendency you put out. Somebody hit it, busted over, but going off in there.
Before you do that, so your bumper get it. This way, your bumper's going to go.
Have the higher rails to keep the horses.
Yeah. This is the one made for, you know.
What about the old bridge is still sitting there? Is there anything salvageable on that old bridge when we get out of
here? Yes, we're going to take, yes, we've got some iron and the floor. We're putting that about 3 or 4 years before it's condemned. I tell this other bridge that if we can't get to some of these bridges we're going to turn in, if we're not lucky enough, we're going to take some of it down here. It's a sharp metal bridge, and we'll use some of that way back bridge there. We've got some feet on it that is useful as the floor. Okay.
All right, Robert, you had something else to bring.
Yeah, I've got two more. As required by ADA on our courthouse project, we have to have an audit on it when the project is closed down. They don't require that to take bids for the auditor, but they do require that you get what they call proposals from some of the local ones. Since the purpose of ADA is to fund local public jobs, I felt we should only go with auditors that are in our county for proposal, keep as money as close as we can in the county. I did get a proposal from both Tom Smith and Paducah and Earl Court and Richard Boyd and Benton. These are
Tom Smith of Calvert City.
Calvert. I looked over these. Dan has an attorney might want to take a look at them, and I need the court to decide which one they would accept today and a motion to that effect.
Who was the low proposal?
Mayor Dantel at Smith.
Well, they're all certified public accountants, right? Mm-hmm. He's the lowest.
What price did he quote?
Senior accountants for Tom are $20 an hour. That's Tom Smith. For Court and Boyd is $36 an hour. Tom Smith, junior accountant, $15 an hour. Irwin Court Shop, $17 an hour.
Well, this is $2, his 18, his 20, his 17, or his 15. But the thing was the guarantee of how much the man days taken, and then estimate of the maximum, 26. But Smith would be the apparent low estimate. But either one would be...
Well, whoever's cheapest is what we want. They're all certified public accountants, you know.
Is there money in the grant to pay for this audit, Robert? Money in the grant to take that.
The money, we have $1,000 allocated out of the EDA amount for the audit. The audit is going to be in excess of that, so the difference is going to be out of our pocket. We've had cost overruns on it, so it's going to be a matter of whether to put all the money allocated to the audit into the construction or pay for all the audit ourselves, or the EDA pays part of it and we pay for the other part. The amount, in other words, the amount of money that the project costs over what EDA pays, we're going to have to pay for one way or the other.
That's the reason we broke everything we spend. We have to turn around and pay some out of our own pocket. It comes out of county taxpayer money.
Well, this is not a guarantee of what each audit will actually cost. Give a maximum of what the maximum cost it would be. And this one be prepared 15 days quicker than that.
Gentlemen, what we could do is not apply for these grants. And I've considered that.
It's cost us in many ways, the way I see a lot of them.
Sure. You've got a $500,000 building over there that's costing you $50,000 or $75,000.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, but you can't really.
What I'm saying is we gotta decide between the two, and I thought along the same lines you have. Do we get three for one, or we try to pay for one ourselves, or what do you do?
That's it.
Do you have a recommendation, or do you want to look at these?
I'm gonna make a motion to keep it
identical except for the statement of charges and the estimated time. Both seem to be completely in compliance. I'll work with them, and I think either shop, either Tom Smith or Irwin Court's offices would do an excellent job for the court.
Which one's the cheapest?
Tom Smith is going to be doing the Calvert City VPA project, who's for the municipal building. So,
his estimate's what, $800 to 18 to 26?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to make a motion that. Tom Smith is cheapest. He does it. Second motion.
A motion and a second that we employ Tom Smith for the purpose of an order on the EDA Local Public Works Project in Marshall County Courthouse. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries.
I've been talking to.
Okay, I've got one other thing. There will be a public meeting December 28th at 7 o'clock for the purpose of forming a citizen participation plan for the county is going to apply for a $500,000 HUD project grant to be applied through under the Community Development Block Grant Small Cities Program. This is an acquisition of a property for an industrial site. The judge might tell you some more about the background in this, or Rick Hatfield is here. He had those many of this. He could tell you more about it, or I could answer some of your questions. Perhaps the judge could give you some background as to what this, how this has come about and what this project will be accomplished.
This is 100% funding.
Right. This requires no
local match. This requires no local match. The purpose of this is to acquire a tract of land down on the river. There is a firm that is very interested in locating a rather large plant. In fact, there's three that have shown a great deal of interest, one in particular. And this is other than Intercontinentals, who have already, Intercontinental Metals have already signed their agreements. They will be coming to Old Tennessee Forge. This is a different tract of land entirely. And there are, I believe, three or four letters of commitment have already been received to locate, or letters of intent or whatever to interest shown. One in particular, to locate a rather large plant. In order to do this, the Calvert City Industrial Committee, which they formed for this particular purpose, has to acquire this land. In order to do that, they must go through the county because the land is outside the city limits of Calvert, and they have to go through county government to obtain a grant. So it would be in the best interest of the county to participate, to try to...
The county's not going to be obligated as far as any match or anything like that.
There is no match. This is 100% funding.
Strictly just going to use the county's name.
Yes. Well, it's the county's name, but it's county property. If you locate a $40 million plant here, I'd say it would be to your advantage.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Participate.
We're not involved as far as any money or anything.
No, sir.
Well, I like a motion to do it,
Well, it's just, I don't know that we need a motion, do you, Robert, other than...
No, that was just for your information.
Let's go ahead. The county will participate in the industrial...
There will be...
The county will participate in the industrial committee's efforts. Calvert City Industrial Committee's efforts to form an industrial park in Calvert City.
At a later time, it may be necessary for the board to adopt a resolution to enter into this application. At this meeting, citizen participation plan will be formulated, and at the next court meeting on January 2nd, the court will have to adopt that plan. At that time, it may be necessary to pass a resolution stating their intent to participate in the program.
Well, we have a motion and a second on the floor. That the Marshall County Fiscal Court will participate.
You need to do is after your public hearings are held, after you get three public hearings, at that time, I believe you make a resolution saying that you're going to apply for this grant. But I wouldn't go ahead and make a resolution or make kind of move until you've had your public hearing.
The only thing we're saying by this motion that we are willing to participate with Calvert City in forming their industrial park. Period. There's a motion second on the floor. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Roger, you had something.
Yeah, we were talking about the courthouse. I was just going to say, I've been talking to Red Ward, who's the superintendent on the job over there. If y'all haven't walked through the new section, you'd be surprised how much they've got done over there. Red anticipates having a majority of the new courthouse space ready for occupancy January 1, which had scheduled. Yeah, Robert thinks that's wrong. But he says that...
I was going to say this. They're going to have to work some nights if they do.
Well, he anticipates that...
Because I'm just to be honest with you, some of the things there, I took the inspector around the other day, and there's a couple of things there I'm going to tighten up.
It's not final. It's just going to be ready for occupancy.
There was a due date on that.
I don't think I'd want to move in just yet. Now, your part, I think, will be ready.
Well, I'm just talking to him about James's part and some of the district court that... We're talking about holding this meeting the latter part of January, and all likelihood the district court will be meeting in the new facilities before our second fiscal court meeting. Toad's office is going to be ready. He's going to try to have James's office ready before the first year so he can make his change before the first
The fellow, Herman's contacted the fellow on these rails, gentlemen, that we talked about before, and we thought we had a guy that was gonna do them, and he never did. This fellow was up today, and he said, while the construction crew is up here, if they could bring one of their compressors over, Red said he could do it if Bill could pull one of his compressors over and get another man or two to just drill those holes. Get knocked out one day, and that guy said he can set those rails. You know, for the elderly people, we've had requests from several people to put some handrails up, and we've got.
All right, under old business, Bethel Birmingham Road. John, give us an update.
Well, I just talked to George Dalton yesterday, and he spoke to us all today. And the paper, he said, hopefully within 30 days, so I figured that I may be Monday or Tuesday to have it.
All right, now let me ask you. I wish you would check into
it. Well, good, John.
We're gonna have to see about it. They can let us use their cup, but they'll haul the next to us. If that's included on the contract. That'd be a big help to us, because if not, we're going to be tying up most of our trucks. Well, all I'm ready for, we're going to keep the paper out there, because we're not going to be hauling all as much material on those trucks.
They're going to haul material, right?
Well, I'm good. I'm not sure about this. Yeah.
Well, we better get back in first while y'all figure out what you're going to do. No, the last time I saw Miller, he said he. About 10 miles of it, so it won't take long to do it.
Well, John, check into that. I'd like to know beforehand if we're going to plan to finish up on those County Lead roads. All are available. Of course, we need the roller too, if they can help us with providing the roller. The supplemental agreement came in yesterday, was signed, sent back there yesterday afternoon. Like, we sealed it out here in the office and put it in the mail. Got the deed books and everything, and the numbers that they wanted. So, all 10 miles that John turned in was accepted to be on the county aid program.
You didn't talk to them. You said you tried to once. You tried to talk to him again, better take that number and go ahead and get some more and start it.
I think we'll be able to now, but we couldn't when I was at Frankfurt last week, because the supplemental agreement had not been signed. We didn't have it recorded in the deed book and all that. See, all we had was the initial request. That's all Otto had in his office when I talked to him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't let us do it then. I think we can now.
You stand, go ahead.
That's what I'm... I've got it. Well, I'm going to check for Bill Miller this afternoon. Just should have got... That went out on the mail last night. Jess should have got it in his office this morning. I'm going to check with him this afternoon, make sure he got it. And then we can go ahead and
order all tomorrow,
or all, hopefully tomorrow.
Okay. What have we got left on this year's spending approximately? I used on these things that are out of restaurants. You have no idea?
You don't have any left.
Did I?
No. We are. In fact, you overspent about $10,000.
And you better go back to Cleveland again. Can you go see the government again tomorrow? We heard.
Oh, I'm serious about
this.
I won't tell you something. The road department, and I know we're in bad shape, but we cannot continue to overspend. You know, we thought we had it worked out that the county aid money was going to be enough, and I don't know what's happened.
I don't know what's happened.
But the oil, of course, went up 5 cents a gallon, but John thought we got under the wire on that last price increase. But we have a bill, we have $77,000 coming. The
the paperwork's gone through finance. Miller says, what do you say, Dan, we should be getting it in the next few days? All right, we owe Southern States 70-something thousand. We owe Reed Crush Stone 11,000 for stone. So we're running about $10,000, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 over what our county aid money.
Yeah, but the rock went up, the oil went up. That's what we didn't allow for.
I realize that. But what I'm saying is this. We're going to have to start allowing for it.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, we're going to have to shut something down.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to have to start doing. We're going to see this robot going dollar down, dollar a week. So we're going to be satisfied.
Well, now, this other money that we just got agreement on, Gordon, to get back to your question on the $10 million, is coming out of the Object 5 money.
You got about 65 in that, right? Last time I was there.
The figures change every time they tell us.
Well, today you called them out. That's what they told us that day.
Now, what they'll tell us today might be different, because remember, we thought we had a little more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that Object 5, of course, was designated for the Birmingham Road.
That old bill.
Right. And then that has been since we've had another supplemental agreement putting that money for the asphalt from the bottom of the hill on out to Highway 68.
Right.
But that also came out of Object 5. But it's gonna come more and more important, fellas. And in years to come, it's going to get tougher because the money's not going to be as we're not going to be getting as much in county aid and rural secondary. And they made that very clear at the subcommittee meeting I testified before in Frankfort last week. They're very concerned. Gas consumption is down. You're paying the same gasoline tax now that you paid when gasoline was 40 cents a gallon. Now, they're talking about the legislators, they don't know what to do. They don't know whether to put an ad valorem tax on. They don't know whether to up the gasoline tax 2 cents. They don't know whether to put a percentage, because gasoline more likely will go to $2 a gallon before the end of 1980. But what the upshot of it is, buddy, is we're going to receive less money next year than we received this year. 1981, we're going to receive less than we received in 1979. Remember what Bob Hodges said, Gordon, about that day. He forewarned us. He forewarned us.
Yeah.
So it's becoming more important that we, try to use every dollar in this money, but don't go above it.
Well, on top of that, so your gas is going up, you're all going to shoot up every year.
Exactly.
Your blacktop.
Your materials are going to go up.
One thing goes up, it all goes up.
Now.
Well, I'll tell you, we've got the house coming, because another two winters that we've had to pass to, we're in much trouble with what money we're trying to operate on and what we're trying to do.
Right.
We've got to have a new plan, a different plan, and we've got to have more income to supply this plan.
Well,
you're right.
Well,
these last two winters put us behind 5 years. I mean, really, before it's making improvements and really going ahead. What I'm talking about is the two winters ago,
The gentleman, this is just to repair what you got. That's all you knew.
Now, Babe Thomas made this statement, and he testified before the committee also, and Babe and his fiscal court has been holding public hearings throughout Hardin County. And what they're telling the people of Hardin County, hey, we're not going to make any improvements. None whatsoever. We're going to maintain what we've got. We're not going to take in any new roads. We're going to maintain what we got, and that's it. Well, how long they'll stay with that policy, I don't know. But now, look, unless the payroll tax is passed on the November ballot, we're going to be facing a situation where we're able to do less and less. It's going to be a maintenance proposition only. We're going to be able to maintain what we got, and that's it. And the SEAL program is going to be gone.
Well, yeah, no doubt about it. When you you know, the wind is really...
Compare the cost of gravel at a dollar a load, compare the cost of white rock and all the chat and field beside before we're going to do it, before we're going to have to do it. It's not going to be a situation of what we want to do, it's going to be what we have to do. If we're successful in passing the payroll tax, it will give the road department some independence and some money with which to do some of these things and not be so dependent upon the state and federal government. But I just want to warn you. And John, you and Jimmy, Diane and myself, we're going to have to really start holding the line on our expenditures. It's not only us, it's every county in the state of Kentucky, it's all of us.
And it's state highway property too.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Now.
Well, you know, the Bill Miller, you know, about 82, they said they wouldn't have enough money to maintain the state road.
Another thing was brought up, and we got into this, they kept us in there about 3 hours. And then we went to lunch, all of us together, and we spent another 2 hours kicking different things around. But one thing that Clayton Little, Pike County, brought up, and representative from Grant County was very emphatic about, was the way we handle snow removal in counties and states. He thinks it's ridiculous, and so do I, and I've seen it happen, you have too. A county truck with a snowplow on it, or a county grader with a blade up, going down a state road to get to another county road when it's covered with snow. And a state truck going across a county road to get to another state road with their blade up when it needs. You know, we need to work out some type of agreement here. I know they have their priority system, but still, you know, it's ridiculous to me.
Well, I think their boys have been mighty good about that.
We do get some, but I tell you,
but
tell you what, just like when I have to go from St. Gilbert till up 641 up to Brigadine back in there, and I grade half of 641, we grade them county roads all eight up one side, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got this high ridge over here and you got to blow over here.
Well, I'm talking about the short roads the state maintains and county maintains, and we could work out an agreement between Carl and us, where we could avoid some of this, you know, running over them with equipment when really it wouldn't take that long to knock them off while you're going and get it over with.
Well, I disagree with you to a certain point, Judge. This is if the grader leaves the shed and starts to Riceburg. He grades from that point there to Riceburg to Sunshine Edges. They use it from Riceburg. And he has just spent 2.5 hours grading from that point here to that point.
Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm talking about when we, like, okay, you're going from, say, from this county road, and you got to go across a little state-maintained road to get to another county road. I'm not talking about this is on their priority system. Okay. I'm talking long haul. I'm talking short road. Okay. A lot of times are just really left out. And the state, they're busy on their priorities, and they haven't got back to it. And the same with them. When they're going across a short stretch of county road, I don't see why they don't go ahead and get it. You know, I'm not talking about the big problem.
Well, if you start
stretching
out on these others.
No, I know what you're saying.
Well, 2 hours there.
Sure. Well, it'd be the same thing as District 1 was going to Hardin and did 641 on the way. Well, of course, obviously. But there is areas I think we can kind of tighten up and help each other.
No, I agree on that, but not like you're getting up these long.
No. Okay. John, keep us posted on when we can get this machine because we really need to get started.
New bridge down there.
Right.
Get them first, yeah.
Now, a new business, the county supplemental agreement, all the paperwork is completed and in, and we'll call, before y'all leave today, I'll call Jess to make sure he's got it in this morning, but it should have went out with the mail last night from here. Okay, is there any other new business?
Yes, I need parking again.
Oh, I'm sorry. We discussed before, and I sent a letter to Mayor Creasy asking that an area be designated for handicap parking on the south side of the court square. The mayor said that had already been discussed and that they were going to take care of it, but it has not, as of yet, been taken care of. I've been asked to speak to the city council tonight, the Benton City Council, in regard to the payroll tax proposal that will be on the ballot, and I'll also bring up to the council about the handicap parking. Let's touch on this just for a minute, and I don't want to stay on it too long if you don't. Last Monday night, Wayne Lee and I were planning on going over to the Calvert Council to speak with him, and I had made a prior commitment to be the auctioneer at the Marshall County School for Exceptional Children Track Treasure Auction. We did not go, and according to the newspapers, there was quite a bit of discussion about the proposed payroll tax to the Calvert City Council. I understand that they will not be meeting again until after the November election. If the court wishes, I will call Dr. Colby and see if he would be willing to get the council together and sit down with me and discuss some of the issues that they raise and let them know where we're coming from. If that would be in order, if you don't want me to do that, say so. Probably a few districts, what do you think?
Well, fine, I don't have any.
Yeah, I noticed a little write up in the paper, you know, where I was supposed to go over there, and I didn't know anything about I was supposed to go over there. Wayne Levitt, you know, was supposed to go speak to the council. I didn't know anything about that.
Cut you down, Calvert City, I'll cut you down. No, I think it would be a good attitude, because some people, you know,
shouldn't go around telling them people going there.
Well, we had a very good meeting. Wayne Lee and I met with the Hardin City Council, and we had a very good meeting. The Hardin City Council all agreed that they would support our effort. And in fact, they're going to call a community meeting, going to have a town meeting in regard to this. Let me ask some questions. I think the Calvert City Council, you know, I'm not going to try to go down there with the thought of changing their mind or you know, arguing with any of the councilmen or the mayor there. I've had a real good working relationship with all of them, and we want to keep it that way. If they are opposed to it, then that's the way to be. They're entitled to their opinion. I feel like that we can justify the need for the payroll tax. I feel like the county can make a lot of progress, especially in the area of roads, and gain some independence to keep our ambulance service going and not on a quarter-to-quarter basis as we're having to do now. Gentlemen, all we've got from the CETA program is just a stay of execution. The only thing they did was give us a little extension. It's no permanent solution. The only way we're going to have a permanent solution is when we decide, or the people of the county decide, this is what we want, and we're going to run our own program, and we're going to run it. I think I almost have to agree with Bay Thomas. Bay says that they're faced with the same thing in Hardin County, Cumberland County, Bourbon County, and, you know, fellows that were up there at this meeting. And that we've gone into these federal programs so long, like Bubby said, and all of a sudden they come along and jerk the rug out. You get your people used to the program, you get your people used to the services, and then all of a sudden the fiscal court becomes the goat, not the federal government, when you have to drop it. So,
after all, they put the program into operation, really.
Correct.
Well, really, I wish it left us out of town, but didn't start with it. Left it home to like it used to do. But we're going to give you all this money, you got to do it, so you do it. Now they take all your money away, like you said, you give a goat to them.
Well, of course, at that point in time, there wasn't really a question of money. The funeral home, well, it was a question of money as far as funeral homes were concerned. Because they simply could not operate under the guidelines set forth to the federal and state government. And they can't today and won't today. You can talk to any of them.
Right. That's what I say. They force you to do this, and now they say, well, you can do it.
Okay. Is there any other new business needs to come before the court?
I need to talk to legal people.
Well, do you want to talk to them privately?
No. Not privately. You know better than that.
I'm sorry. Who want to say that? Chris?
Roger, the thing we talked about the garbage box, did you get that?
Yeah, I've got, that's what I'm working on this morning. I've got a stack of things I want to discuss with y'all about precisely how you want to do that, but we'll take that up in a minute. I just want you to look at some sample ordinances I've got to see which one of them would be appropriate. Okay.
While he's doing that, I'll tell you what's about. The other day, then, throw up some kind of order, you know, but it didn't put pigs and dogs and everything else and things, so he's going to try to cover the whole thing in this ordinance before. Maybe not put in the garbage, and that works. But this guy gets called again, put the garbage over the car, and then we'll have some way to find him.
We haven't had it before.
If you put it on
we've
the ground,
we're losing battle with this concrete and all this other stuff.
We don't have an ordinance prohibiting putting in there of such things as dead animals, old metals and alloys, bricks, tires, brush cuttings, tree limbs, branches, logs, lumber, abandoned automobiles, furniture, stoves, refrigerators, freezers, and the like, bodies of animals and so forth, electrical parts, plumbing. We just didn't have one. We had the refuse district set up, but we didn't have anything making a criminal to come dump all that stuff in it. We set it outside, it's littering. We dump it in it. We didn't have any ordinance to cover that.
It's a little name on that trash on it means nothing.
It's a shame that it came to this point where you have to pass an ordinance for such things.
That's
and we're supposed to live in an intelligent society where people ought to have enough sense to know what the box is for. But I guess we've come to that.
Well, I'm sure we have, but like I said, right before the boy put the hood up, you know, had to put the top door, but right there, right in front of him, and let it decide, wouldn't you? And the quiet letter, garbage on it. And I said, look, man, it says garbage on it. He said, I'm putting it in the box. Lay down. His wife, she thought it was going to have a little fist stuff there, but anyway, he put it in the box. Of course, I called Rocky, and he said, you know, had he laid it on the ground, he could have got him, but since he didn't have anything, best find exactly.
Ordinance, what you could put in there, but I think it ought to cover everything. I mean, everything, chip, God, I don't care what order you put on there. Yeah, car and dirty day every day, anything. Roger, while you're whittling, doing that, I mean, gentleman, the counter that sat in the hall, the sheriff thought that he was going to be able to use that down in his office. He's decided now that he cannot. He's just taking up space out there. We have had some interest of people who might want to purchase it. So my suggestion would be that we declare it surplus property and take bids.
Well, I thought we were going to use that John over for that somewhere in connection with that sign machine. Is that not right? Don't you know we discussed something about it last time, Mike? To put your statue material stuff on.
Well, I knew it was brought up, but it hadn't been moved. Nothing had been said since then, so I didn't know whether you wanted to sell it or.
Well, I think we can use it over there. Look at it and see if we use it. That thing's heavy. Well, like I said, of course you could put all your material stuff on it.
You looked at it, John. It is a heavy motor. What do you think? It can be used over there.
How are you going to get it in? We're going to use your record. No.
How we gonna move it for?
How you gonna get it
one band?
But you got a bin, right? You only got outside. Oh, you got an outside. I didn't know that. That's a heavy jewel. It's solid oak. I still think it ought to be looked at and see if you can use it. If you can't use it. Other words, what I'm saying, it might bring more money if we can take the money and build something over there. It'd be more benefit to us. More useful. I think it ought to be looked into. Then let's take a look.
Don't you?
Let's take a look right now.
Let's look at it, don't
we? I don't know what time. Decide how you're going to fix the sign, right? And what kind of work you're going to have.
All right, let's recess for a couple of minutes. We'll go out in the hall and look at it. Buggy, you.
What time did this
happen? You said you bombed.
Even not this one.
Well,
time?
Pam,
I thought
you said
time
you.
What happened?
Gordon.
I don't know. What time it happened, John?
I thought you said you belonged to that Florida department.
Something along the tree.
Along
the town, the East Marshall, Lake Shore. They build another one right there. I'll be belonging to them.
We're going to have to take a moment because I'll make you black out.
I want to see what happened.
I want to know the details.
I mean, people, I didn't know that. Let's right down the swamp and go up the hill. You know what I'm talking about? Right off the John Mack Road.
I know what, or that, but I mean, I'm going to get on that one. I just like to see what happened.
Now, that's the holler on the town. Look above that.
Okay, well, call the court back to order. You only had a chance to look at the property.
Well, it's too big and too heavy for what we need, so I suggest that we take bids on it.
I think we ought to have a couple of antique dealers come in and look at it and talk to them, give us an idea of what was going on, and then we decide from that point. Let the bid decide what we think we might get out of it. Somebody knows something about it, tell us something before we put it out to bid.
Well, we're going to put it up for bid. No matter what it's worth. We'll
have an idea, but we don't have to accept the
bid. We could put a minimum on it, couldn't we?
Pardon?
We could put a minimum if it don't bring, say,
$1,000. I suppose, what are you going to do with it if it don't bring that? You're just going to leave it sitting out there in the hall.
This little Jew and everybody does.
What do you do it?
Come out. Reference the judge, please. Get the squire involved in them.
There's not a whole lot of Jews down the north end.
Well, even more than they are in the south end.
I doubt that.
How did we get on this subject?
You started.
I didn't start it. I believe the last suggestion Squire Hargrove suggested we'll get somebody in that's knowledgeable in this. Dealing with antiques, maybe give us an idea and then go from there, hold off on advertising until we do that.
Yeah. It does have a little history in the courthouse thing. You might want to set it out on the court square and clean it up somewhere like that. You know,
is the desk always been used in the clerk's office?
Has it yes.
Been there from the beginning until they pulled up?
Nothing told me anything about it.
We could say it was probably, what, 80 years old?
It's been a few misgivings.
It looks like it don't have a lot of sentimental value. It's old fat. It's $1,000 worth.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't have old well or melt.
Yeah, Don's not that old.
Well, and Dad, help build it. That's right.
Well, we'll better pull it down a few years.
Well, we'll try to get an idea of.
Judge, get us an idea of somebody what we got, and then
we'll make a note. All right. Any other business needs to come before the court?
I got a couple of ordinances. I got two different ordinances for us to look at if we're ready to set forward to get everything but that. The first ordinance is something we may want to tamper with and add some to. It's an ordinance of the Marshall County Fiscal Court pertaining to the use of the dumpster green boxes of the Marshall County Refuge District. Now therefore be it ordained, ordered, and resolved on the Marshall County Fiscal Court. Section 1, it shall be unlawful for any person, individual, or corporation to place in, against, or around any dumpster green box of the Marshall County Refuge District any of the following items. I've listed a number of things that I've found in sample ordinances, but it may not be sufficient. And if you can think of anything else we can put in there, we'll put in there. Bodies of animals, plumbing or electrical items, tires or automobile parts, furniture, stoves, refrigerators, freezers, or the like, old metal or alloy, stone, brick, concrete, or cement, lumber, wooden boxes or crates, brush cuttings, tree trimming, branches, leaves, or logs, metal cans, or containers. Is that overbroad? Is that too broad?
Wooden metal cans.
I think we ought to, we don't mean little metal cans, we mean metal drums, I think, probably is a better phrase.
Put anything from a 5-gallon bucket up. I'll take care of you. I mean, you wouldn't want to find 5 enough of foot in there.
Metal drums or containers in excess of 5 gallons.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I take care of the bottom there. Because 5-gallon bucket from my house.
Anything else that you can think of that we need to exclude? The ordinance will include a statement that it's the intent for the boxes to be used primarily for disposal of household waste and refuse. Also, it shall be unlawful for any person to tamper with any green box in any way. And the third section is that violation of this ordinance shall constitute a violation of the Kentucky Penal Code and shall be prosecuted and punished as such, which carries a fine of up to $250. Section 4 will read that this ordinance shall become effective upon publication by caption and summary after a second reading.
Is there any glass?
No, I left out glass. That would be automobile parts. I've got glass over here in some of these sample ordinances, cans, bottles, and glasses, but I don't know how to limit it. Automobile parts, of course, would include windshield.
Yeah.
I could say, you know.
I know the problem. You put windshield in, so then you got the problem with teeth.
Bodies of animals.
Glass.
Birds.
Glass really doesn't hurt them. Well, windshield,
it crushes up, you know. But what it does when you put a windshield in a dumpster, it gives the appearance that the dumpster's full when it's really not. And that's just like putting cardboard boxes in there without breaking them down. You break them down, and then you've got plenty of room for you. Still got plenty of room for the refuse to go in there, but if you just put the boxes in without breaking them down, you fill it up.
Well, automotive parts to take care of that, don't you think?
Yeah, that'll take care of that. Anything else in that? We'll have to have a second reading on it. I'll get a summary to the paper to be published, and we have to have a second reading on it. Okay. The other ordinance that I have is an ordinance of Marshall County Fiscal Court pertaining to soliciting in Marshall County. Now, therefore, be it ordained, ordered, and resolved by the Marshall County Fiscal Court that it shall be unlawful for any person to engage in business as a canvasser or solicitor calling in residences without the previous consent of the occupant for the purpose of soliciting orders, sales, subscriptions, or business of any kind, or seeking for information or donations without first having registered in the office of the county clerk. The registrant shall give his complete identification, his signature, the name of his employer, the nature of the products or services in which he is interested, the names of the manufacturers of such products or the organization which he is representing, and proposed method of operation in the county. Each registrant shall pay to the clerk a registration fee of $2 for the period experience. I think it's probably $5. $5. $5 for a 90-day period. They'll have to carry a certificate to show that they're a person of good character and have them with them at all times. Show it to anybody that requested, peace officer or person at the house, that this doesn't apply to officers and employees of city, county, state, or federal government when on official business. Any such registration may be revoked for the county judge, executive, or the sheriff because of any violation by the registrant of this ordinance or of any other ordinance of the county or of any city in the county or of any state or federal law when the registrant shall cease to possess the qualifications and character required. That the practice of going in and about private residences is declared to be a nuisance. Any violation of this ordinance shall be deemed a violation of the Kentucky Penal Code and prosecuted and punished as such. This ordinance shall become effective upon a publication by notice, caption, and summary after second reading and passage. And we had considered a solicitation one before. Now, I will get a summary to the newspaper of this. I'll get copies of both of these ordinances to you. We can amend them at the second reading if necessary before final passage. But I'll get all of the copies by the end of this week of all of these so you can have them look at. But that does constitute our first reading of both ordinances. You need to know the first reading of both ordinances.
No action is to be taken until the final reading.
Okay, now this one doesn't, but I can. I've got another ordinance on roadblocks. And if you'll let me, I'll get that for you right now.
Roger, what about these kids, this school for exceptional children and stuff like that? I mean, telephone, but that's not going to pertain. I mean, they're not going to have to get permit to do that.
Let me get something else on exemption.
Well, I'm from a, you know, like, well, I think we all. Well, I mean, like the school for exceptional kids and this telephone for people. Well, we need to take care of them, but I mean, we don't, we, you know, make these kids, just, you know, that we know that what organization they're doing for, I don't know, but we'll put that somewhere where we're trying to
get it. Sure, the clerk's office will know pretty well. Upon approval of the sheriff's department, like the fiscal court, or whatever, that way, you know,
well, like I said, it wouldn't hurt some kids to call your office and say, look, you know, we're gonna have roadblocks and all for the well. Yeah. And that way that could all let us without any problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mean you have to take care of chewing gum Charlie's job too?
While the county attorney's looking, there he is. Okay, I've got an ordinance that makes it unlawful to park a car in the road, to stop traffic, to back up a car, to make a U-turn, to have anybody hanging on the car, leaning out the car, hauling people out of the car, in order to make a solicitation. You might want to include on that. And I've got some exemptions. Exempted from that are solicitation for educational purposes, solely for a church or religious corporation if it's exempt on the Internal Revenue Code, some other things. The problem we've got with that is that one of our major difficulties with solicitors in this county has to do with the religious organization, the Unification Church, the Moons. And we have to be very careful when we draw these exemptions. I think we can, school children, we can exempt pretty well by expanding this definition of a governmental body, somebody that's involved in the school system, we can exempt fairly easily. But if we go much beyond that, we have to be very careful about drawing our exemptions.
Any other comments?
Well, I think we ought to draw it, like I said, make it think about what we're going through all
that.
We'll take care of everything while you
have it. I put this on here about the roadblocks and the exemption. I'll clarify the second reading.
What do they predict their money's being used for at this time? Out of here?
Forty thirty.
If you have a new $5.
That you like going over there.
Gentlemen, we had a accident yesterday, of course, all of you know, in the road park. And we do have an individual in the hospital. With the fiscal court woman, Ms. Ben Flower. If it looks like he's going to be in the hospital for a while, we won't know until later on today. Sandy called over there this morning. What did they say? They didn't know yet. We need John to
the public. There's Jim back there.
We need to make the arrangements for the insurance company. You know, they have all the pictures on the stuff. We may or may not get a bill from the fire department. I don't think we will. You know. All right. Is there any other business needs to come before the court?
Well, that's still not. So it's one cut short of really predict its total loss. They can wait to get a mail file left to buy another used truck.
You got a lady on one, maybe.
It just depends.
Well, Johnny, he didn't run off the road.
It burned up, too. See, the truck burned up.
Which one was it?
The little white Dodge.
The one we used to coal patch it, and coal patch stuff. Unless we get enough insurance company to buy another truck out of them, that's what we need to look about. Short-handed, isn't it?
There ain't no way we're going to be able to set this thing down. Before it comes to us, we'll get that boss money stolen. I'll go, I know we got that. We got to get the whole thing. I'll talk to you later, Sheriff. I know what you mean, Jed, but it's a bad situation all the way around.
That's right. That's right.
I don't think you want to get in a position to let your county get into the local government and run into all their filings.
And sign every check.
Do what now?
Part of the local government has taken over the finances of Letcher County, Kentucky. There is no expense being paid without every prior approval of the Department of Local Government.
Who is that? What did you tell you? They mismanaged your money and they're broke.
They are bankrupt. And they can't sign any checks without the Department of Local Government counseling.
Well, pretty soon the state's going to tell you whatever you're going to do anyhow, so it's just a matter of
time. Matter of
time.
Well, not necessarily. I think the local department, local government, and Bob Purdy's shop was in a roundabout way to ask for help. To get counties right here in this area that are already several hundred thousand dollars in debt. The taxes are even coming in yet. One neighboring county has already borrowed $350,000. The county government.
I don't know where they're not, but
keep spending and keep spending and keep spending.
And it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. Our roads are, you know, are just as bad as theirs.
January and February can be
financial debt.
Be here before you know it again, do you?
We're facing, I know we know already, between now and November 15th, we're going to have to work some Saturdays. We're going to have to work some overtime. If we're going to accomplish what we want to accomplish, we're going to have to do it. But now we know in February, January, February, and March, we're going to have to work some overtime. Clear the road. Greater blades are always a big expense, you know, in the middle of next month.
Yes, no, I'm going to go.
So, yeah, we're going up and down 2 weeks, and it's been shot up on the barrel again.
Probably a half a gallon, boy, huh?
That's what I'm saying, we can't, you know, we can't talk about going out and buying another truck. Till we see what the insurance payment we're going to get.
That's what I'm talking about, that's what I'm going to go, but I don't think.
Oh, I thought that was. I know we'll have to buy a used, if we're going to have to buy a used truck, I know we'll have to be used, but I mean, if we could find some, you know, some local, they got a, you know, pretty good old truck, so we can get a coal pack.
You know, Joe, Tom?
Yeah.
Well, damn, they wore out there, hurry, and get them replaced, lose one or two in the wrecks and flowers, well, we're going to have to start, you know, replacing them, or they're going to run out.
Well,
if we can get them off, you know, but replace it.
Well, I'd like to talk to somebody sometime to have him out of anything to stop. It's the way that I'm going to keep rolling. I mean, what is going to, it's going to have to level off.
I want to talk to the union man down there, that's one.
I've talked to him, and I was forcing up these tobacco farmers, ain't he? Working man, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, we've got another.
Morning. Okay, I don't think we need that in form of motion. I want to just go ahead and start getting some specifications prepared, and we'll proceed with